Anytime you're ready, sir.
Okay, sir. Father, tonight we're so thankful to be here in your presence. Father, we just count it a privilege to enter your presence, Father, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Lord, to enter your praise, praising the most and almighty God, the creator of all things. Father, we're so thankful tonight for the price that was paid for each and every person. Lord, we're so thankful that we have the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and teach us in each and everything. Lord, we thank you tonight for each and every person that's here. Lord, I thank you that you will deal with each and every person here tonight, physically, spiritually, mentally, financially, whatever their need may be, Father. It'll come forth in manifestation in their life. Father, we're so thankful for each and everything that you have blessed us with. And we want to be very careful to give you all the praise and all the glory, that we could do nothing unless it be by our Father. We can do nothing unless it be taught by you, Lord. You just take this service tonight, however you want to go with it, Lord. It is yours. We are led by the Holy Spirit, and we thank you right now for the things that we're about to receive tonight, for what is about to happen in this place tonight, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and all the people said together,
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Good praying, Gerald. Hallelujah. Every time I get to thinking that, I teach so much on confession, isn't that right? By confession, what I'm talking about is speaking the Word of God, because Jesus defined for us once and for all what truth is. He said, Father, thy word is truth. John, in what we call Little John, 1 John, he says, I have no greater pleasure than that my children walk in the truth. But it seems to be that most people never get to walking in the truth till they at least start agreeing with the truth.
Amen.
You know, in Amos, the prophet said, can two walk together lest they be agreed? You know, if God's saying by his stripes you're healed, and you're saying I'm dying of this sickness, you and God are not walking together too well. You know? If the Bible and God says that he supplies all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and you're going around saying, we're going to go under, I'm going to be laid off, we're going to lose our job, I'm not going to be able to pay the bills, you and God are not walking together. In that area. Now, he loves you. You can be saved and on your way to heaven. But when it comes to prosperity, you're not walking with him. Because that's not agreed. That doesn't agree with what he says. Well, you all know. You've heard me. I teach on that all the time. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Just about the time I go to the Lord and I say, now, Lord, I need to teach some other things. You know, I need to get on to some other things. Guess what he does? He opens up something I've never really seen before, and when it comes to confession. So, here we go. Tonight's lesson is called, I'm going to use Norval Hayes' voice. He was the first one I ever heard say this phrase, faith has a voice.
Hallelujah.
If you're not speaking the Word of God, you're not even in faith yet. You're kidding yourself. Faith has a voice. Does that sound like Norval? How'd I do? Okay. Now watch this. 2 Corinthians 4:13. This is Paul writing this one. He says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the Lord said to me in my prayer time, this was about 2 weeks ago. To be honest with you, though, it only really impacted me in the last few days. I was going back through my notes. Now, listen to this. The Holy Spirit will not act on the unspoken word, not even for God the Father himself. The Holy Spirit would still be brooding over the face of the waters today had he never heard, let there be light. Now think about that before we go any further. Just think about that for a minute. Here's the Holy Spirit, Genesis 1:1 and 2. And it says, darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters, you know. And there he is, with all creative ability, all creative power, ready, willing, able to do anything. There's nothing impossible with the Holy Ghost, right? But what do you see him doing anything except just being there until what happens? He had to hear the words. Actually, in our Bible, it says, let there be light. In the Hebrew, it actually says, light be. And light was, man. You know, when God says, light be, light shows up. Okay? But that's because the Holy Spirit changed. He goes into His creative mode. He is the one, like when somebody gets healed of cancer or healed of anything, it's actually the, you know, what we call the anointing is really the Holy Spirit. He is the molecule changer. He is the chemical changer in your body. He works on you at the atomic level. You know what I mean? Down in your cells to drive out cancer cells and restore them with good cells. Like when the lepers were made clean. Nine of them were cleansed. The one that came back to give thanks was made whole. Now think about this. Leprosy, you know, eventually parts of your body start disappearing. I mean, he might have been missing an ear. He might have been missing a nose. Y'all seen those movies, you know? Now the other ones were cleansed. What that means is the leprosy was stopped. They didn't go any further in their bodies. They were free of leprosy. But that one came back. But anyway, that one came back, and he was made whole. Now think what happened. Had he been missing an ear, that means suddenly he had an ear again. Who did that? That's the Holy Spirit. See, he was the one hovering over the face of the deep. It says the earth was dark and void, you know. But he was the one that as soon as he heard the spoken word of God, which, by the way, if you want to know who spoke it, it was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. He has been, is, and will always be the Word of God. God the Father conceives it. Jesus the Son speaks it. And the Holy Spirit does it. Glory to God. But the point tonight is the Holy Spirit doesn't do it until He hears the Word. He'd still be hovering over that today. He will not take it upon Himself. Not even for God the Father. Until he hears the command. He has to hear the spoken word. That's what he acts on. All right, now watch this. The Lord gave me this example from the Word. This is kind of long, but I went ahead and put it all on there. Matthew 8:5-13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. Do y'all know what a centurion is? He's a Roman soldier. He's a man of authority. A centurion, I would think he would have at least 100 men under him. You know? Okay? And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. By the way, let's just stop. That's what Jesus always says. Y'all need to understand that. That's what Jesus always says. He is not any at any time. He didn't ask anything. Is this guy a tither? Does he go to church regularly? Is he a Jew even in this day? I mean, this is still under the covenant with Israel. And these are Romans. They don't even have that, you know. He just immediately said, I'll come and heal him. Okay, you asked? Okay. Get that part first. God is not your problem. See, Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. So all that doctrine that you heard in religion that said God puts that stuff on you to teach you a lesson, you know. That person there, they just need straightening out. I think I'll just put a little cancer on them and we'll humble them, get them straightened out. Unless you see Jesus doing something like that, can you in your wildest imagination think of Jesus doing anything like that? He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, if Jesus doesn't do that, God the Father doesn't do that. Now, I don't care what preacher told you he did either. He doesn't either. Hallelujah. So anyway, that's Jesus' response always. That will help you. Whenever the enemy attacks, as soon as you ask, Jesus' response is, I'll come and heal him. I'll come and heal you too. Glory to God. So anyway, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. Now stop for a minute, because I used to hear a lot of religious junk on that statement. So say, well, he knew, you know, that's the attitude you're supposed to have. You're just not worthy. That's not what this is talking about at all. In that day, under Jewish law, Jews were not supposed to go into the house of a Gentile. This man is a Gentile. He is not born a Jew. He is not the physical seed of Abraham. So really what he was doing, he was trying to be, would you say, polite. He was trying to keep Jesus from getting in trouble with the religious authorities. Let's put it that way. He was being diplomatic. He was trying to be nice. He says, "No, I'm a Gentile. You're a Jew. You know, you don't need to come to my house, okay? But now watch this. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard this, when he heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Now what he's really telling them, this Gentile who's born without a covenant with God, I find more faith in him than all of you Israelis who was raised in this stuff put together. Here's a man that understands faith. How would y'all like for Jesus to say about you, "I have not found so great faith"? Would that be a good thing for Jesus to say to you? That's what I want him saying about me. I want him saying about me, "That Gary, I'll tell you one thing, I've not found such great faith."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Don't you want him saying that about you? Well, if we can learn what he was doing, what it was about this centurion that impressed Jesus so much, we can do the same thing, can't we? Hello? Can't we? Amen. They're going to think I'm preaching to myself. Hallelujah. We got about 50 in here. Did we have any handouts left, Trish? I printed 45 and they're gone, so I know we got more than that here. Hallelujah. Okay, so he says, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Now, just so you'll know, Jesus right there was prophesying about all of you guys. All of us. At that time, these people were thinking only Jews, only the physical descendants of Abraham could be saved. And he said, "Now I got news for you. They're going to come from the east. They're going to come from the west. All these Gentile believers, they're going to enter into the kingdom of God, and they're going to be sitting right there with you." Hallelujah. Everyone say, "Thank God for that." Hallelujah. "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." Now right there when he said, "Be it done," that right there is what licensed the Holy Spirit to do it.
Hallelujah.
Right
yeah.
There. That's like light, be. Now when Jesus said, "According to your faith," and the man's already come and declared his faith. Mm-hmm. I told you faith has a voice.
Yeah.
He's already come. He said, "Speak the word only and my servant will be healed." According to that statement right there, Jesus is saying, "Be it done." And when he said, "Be it done," the Holy Spirit did. Molecules started changing. Chemical reactions. Whatever it was that was causing this palsy thing. If it was a devil, I don't know. It could have been a devil. But whatever it was, the Holy Spirit, be it done it. Okay? Be it done it. He did it. He has heard the Word of God spoken. Spoken. And he did. He performed the Word of God.
Amen?
Now, and his Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour.
Hallelujah.
Now notice, it's important to notice that there was physical geographical distance between Jesus and this centurion's house. I mean, he wasn't in the house, right? I don't know if it was a block away. I don't know if it was a mile away. I don't know how far it was. But wherever Jesus was, there was some geographical distance between him and wherever this healing took place, right? Now watch this. The fact that the servant was healed without Jesus physically being present lets us know for sure that it was the Holy Spirit who moved on the servant's body to cause him to be healed. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, meditate it this way. Before the centurion even sent these messengers to Jesus, this sick servant, you know, the one that had the palsy, what do you think? Did he desire to be healed? Yeah, he desired to be healed. Well, did the centurion desire for the servant to be healed? What do you think? Yeah. Okay. Now think about this. Did God the Father desire that the servant be healed? Yes. Now see, I would have, years ago in the denominational church, I would have had to have argued with you right there. Well, it just might not have been God's will, you know. I mean, that's the way I was raised, you know. They absolutely thought and taught that it wasn't God's will to heal everybody, you know. But see, I put in parentheses here, John, in his little epistle, 1 John, he said, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is willing that above all things, he is desiring that you prosper and that you be in health even as your soul prospers. The Bible plainly says that Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Sickness is a work of hell. Sickness does not come from God. He says, John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Whatever it is that's stealing, killing, destroying in your life, everyone say with me, the devil is bad.
The devil is bad.
God is good.
God is good.
The devil does bad stuff.
The devil does bad stuff.
God does good stuff.
God does good stuff.
Sickness comes from the devil.
Sickness comes from the devil.
Healing comes from God.
Healing comes from God.
If you get that straight right there, you know, and the same thing applies to your money. The same thing applies to your peace of mind. God, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. If it's not good and it's not perfect, it didn't come from Him. Get that straight. It's a work of hell. Come to steal, kill, and destroy. And before this night's over, you're going to know how to get rid of it.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Get that mountain out of your life and get the abundance of God flowing in there. That's what we're here for.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Get you free and you can get some other folks free.
Amen.
Glory to God. Watch out, I'm going to start preaching. So we did that. We said, now, even the Father desired that his servant be healed. So now watch this. The servant wanted to be healed. His boss, the centurion, wanted him to be healed. God the Father wanted him to be healed. Now watch this. Did the Holy Spirit desire for the servant to be healed? Well, yes. He is the Spirit of comfort. He says, Jesus said, I will send the Comforter to you. You know, the Holy Spirit is tender. He loves you. He is God. We got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And God the Holy Ghost loves you as much as God the Son. God the Holy Ghost loves you as much as God the Father. And it hurts Him when you hurt. Especially Him, because He's the one that can change it. His job is to take those cancer cells and drive them out of your body if He can ever get release from you to do it. Notice how I said that, release from you. Hallelujah. Now, that's what we're talking about. So even the Holy Spirit desired for the servant to be healed, but notice this, the Holy Spirit did not do anything about this servant's sickness until he heard the word of God spoken. Spoken, I said.
Amen.
I will keep saying this. I know I've said it a lot. I'm going to keep saying it till Jesus returns. God works in the earth one way, not two. He works with words. If you don't believe that, just go back to Genesis 1:1 and read the first chapter of Genesis again. The Holy Spirit, He who creates, He who rearranges molecules, He who adjusts everything chemically in your body to make it perfect, He who does everything, He who brings conviction on people, everything, the anointing Himself, He doesn't do anything without the spoken Word of God. And when the Holy Spirit showed me, He doesn't even do it for the Father. I'm going... That kind of let me know He's not going to make an exception in my case.
Yeah.
He's not going to make an exception in your case. Hello? You say, oh, I love God and I don't understand why all this bad... Why doesn't this stuff happen? Why doesn't God do things for me? I don't understand. Where's the Holy Ghost? He's right where you are.
Yeah.
He's waiting on something.
Amen.
You haven't let him loose.
Oh, come on.
In your life.
Yes.
How do you think it is that all these wonderful, truly God-loving, tongue-talking, Jesus-serving Christians die of cancer with the Holy Ghost, the manifester of healing, living 1 inch away from that cancer inside of them? How is that possible? How is that possible?
Oh, God, Gary, this is good.
Well, it's the Word, you know.
Yes.
He cannot make an exception. He works according to the spoken Word of God. And he doesn't do anything without it. He just doesn't do anything without the Word of God. That's what licenses him to do it. Okay, let's go a little further here. Hallelujah. Where was we? Notice the Holy Spirit did not do anything about this servant's sickness until he heard the Word of God spoken. Oh, I said that. I'll keep saying this until Jesus returns. God works in the earth one way, not two. He works with words. Now, the Holy Spirit is the performer. That's what I meant when I said he's the molecule changer. Okay? He performs the Word of God that he hears coming out of your mouth. He never performs good intentions. Everyone say after me. The Holy Ghost,
the Holy Ghost
never performs
my good intentions.
Say the Holy Ghost,
the Holy Ghost
he never performs
unspoken desires.
He never performs whims. Emotions. Daydreams.
Wishful thinking.
And so forth.
He
only performs the spoken word. Period.
Amen.
Now, how much word does he hear coming out of your mouth? And how often does he hear you agreeing with your archenemy, the devil, telling how bad your circumstances are? He sure can't perform that. You know who jumps on those words? The devil himself. And you're licensing him to continue. Every time you tell how bad it is, you're really prophesying how bad it's going to be. Everyone draw those toes back here. Say, oh, Jesus, get off them toes, hallelujah. Well, it's the truth. The Bible says you have what you say. You have what you say. How much word does he hear coming out of your mouth? Now, see, when those of you that know our testimony, when the Lord calls Sue and I full-time to do this, I mean for the first few months, for those of you that don't know, real quickly, he had me leave my job driving trucks for Gerald. We have no other source of income whatsoever. And he said, I want you to start doing this Bible study and then sending the tapes out. And he says, I don't want you to take up any offerings. I don't want you to sell any tapes. I want you to mail everything out free. I don't even want you to put in a return envelope. And, oh, one other thing, son. Don't ever let another human being know of any need that you ever have. He says, you turn to me and me alone for all your needs. And if you'll do that, I'll speak to the hearts of the people I choose, and they'll support both you and the ministry. That's scary stuff. All right? Now, when we started trying to obey that, how many of you know that Mark chapter 4 says, Satan cometh immediately to choke the word that was sown in your heart? Well, he's not just talking about the written word that you learn at church. He's talking about when Jesus, the head of the church, comes and gives you an assignment such as, let us cross over to the other side. Did you notice what came? A storm. I got some witnesses over here.
Hallelujah.
Nick and Linda just moved here this week from Florida. You ought to hear about the storms that came as they tried to cross over to the other side.
Hallelujah.
They're still going through them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, but that's the devil's job, see? And if you ever get it figured out, that's what he does.
Amen.
What you need to learn is, what does God do?
Amen.
See? How do you stop those storms? How do you get those mountains out of your path? Because the devil's not going to just be nice for you. Well, there's just something about the cut of your jib that I like. I think I won't destroy you completely this time. I'll have mercy on you, the devil says. What do y'all think? Jesus said he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There is no mercy in him. He's like a rattlesnake. And when a rattlesnake strikes, he does not intend on leaving you alive. Quiet in here now. Now, if that's how serious he is, see, the problem is he's just that serious. He's just that serious. And most Christians are like patty caking with the devil.
That's right.
Oh, patty caking. Oh, I'll try and get in an hour this week at prayer, you know. Surely one sometime during the week. If there's not something really good on TV that night.
Come on, Gary.
You know? And the devil, he could care less what's on TV. He's going to destroy you.
That's right.
While you're taking it easy and you're not, you know, you're not in the Word, you're not confessing, you're not praying, you're not witnessing, you're not living for Jesus, except kind of, you know, thank God we have fire insurance and I'm going to go to church on Sundays and keep my conscience nice and soothed, you know? You know? And the devil's going, I got him. I got him right where I want him. Because the guys that work for me, they don't even take lunch breaks. The devil says, all of his demons, they're out to steal, kill, and destroy, and they are deadly serious about it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean to alarm you, but in a way I do. How many of y'all were at the church? How many were not at the church last night? Raise your hand, please. You need to get that tape.
Amen.
Pastor Dave gave a warning. Pastor Dave gave a serious warning. I've only seen him do that 3 times in 5 years. The first time he gave it, He says, I'm telling you, we're in for a storm. Let's put it that way. And he says, gather in your family. Forgive everything that moves. Be sure you're operating in no strife. Because we're under attack. Now, the last time he said that, for y'all that know my testimony, Sue was at church that morning. When she got home, there was a message from me. I was in the hospital. I know when Dave says something like that, he is not kidding. During that same period of time is when Michael Kelly fell off of that ladder, nearly broke his back.
Yeah.
Daisy Black was in a car wreck. And Gary Bumpus was in a car wreck during that same period of time. Okay? So if you didn't get that tape, I'd get it. Because there's a lot more. He tells us a lot on there how to avoid the pitfalls. But a big part of it, be sure you walk in no strife. Be sure you walk in forgiveness towards everybody. I don't care what they did. Have they hung you on a cross yet? The love of God forgives even if they hang you on a cross. Forgive them. I don't care what they did. Do you want to destroy your loose in your life? Forgive them. That'll keep him from getting access to it. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, now look at this. The Holy Spirit, He only performs the spoken word. Period. In that centurion's day, he had to send messengers to the geographical location wherever Christ was bodily. Do you understand? Okay? The centurion understood that Christ had authority over sickness. I wish the church would get a revelation of that. If we ever get a revelation of just the fact that he does have authority over sickness, that would be step one. You know? And now watch this, though. But see, at that time, I'm sorry, back up. The centurion understood that Christ had authority over sickness. He understood that authority is released through the spoken word. Now think about the centurion. He is a commander of some sort in the Roman army. He has 100 men under him. Now, Caesar himself, through, I'm sure, decrees and paperwork and the army, has passed down to this guy. They have appointed him. They have qualified him. They said, we give you the full backing of Rome. We give you authority. These 100 men are yours. They are under your authority. When you say go, they go. When you say come, they come. If you send them into battle, they'll die. They'll fight to the death for you. Now, the man understood authority, right? Here's what he understood, though. It doesn't matter that he has the position of authority. If they were to go into battle, and here comes the enemy charging hard against his men, and if they're well trained, and he never says the word attack, he never gives the command, they're going to stand there and be slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
He understands that in order for him to release that authority where the men can do anything, He has to speak the word, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's what Jesus is teaching by telling us this parable. The Holy Spirit is just like that. He has been assigned to you. Jesus has given you His own authority just as if He Himself was here bodily. You have the troop of troops with you, the Holy Ghost Himself, able to defeat all enemies, able to leap tall buildings with a single... No, that's a... You understand what I... You get the piss? But He doesn't do anything for you. He doesn't do anything until you give the command. That's what the centurion understood, and if you'll understand that, Jesus will say about you, I have never seen such great faith.
Hallelujah.
The reason He'll say that is every problem, every time the devil sticks his ugly head up in your life with some kind of a problem, I don't care what it is, the Word is in you in abundance. You don't fast and pray 3 days about it. You've already got the Word in your heart in abundance. And as soon as He sticks His ugly head up in your life through whatever problem it is He's trying to bring this time, immediately you speak the Word only. And you release the power of the Holy Ghost to blow that mountain right back into the sea. But He doesn't do it unless He hears the command. Hallelujah. You mean when I speak, the Holy Ghost would obey me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm in the right place. In Jesus' name. Now get this, see? The Holy Ghost does not help you build your personal empire. I hope you understand that. We're not saying God has assigned you the Holy Spirit to be the nastiest Christian in Tulsa, to be the best bank robber in Oklahoma. He has not. But if you are sold out for Jesus, if you are serving Him, you're seeking His will in your life, you're living a godly life. You belong to Christ. How's that? Okay? In that case, you have the Holy Spirit, and the reason He is there is so whenever you, in Jesus' name, speak the Word of God, His job is to manifest that Word. But He will never do it. He will love you with cancer symptoms, and He will be available with all power to completely change your body with just a touch. Right till you take your last breath. And He'll never do anything either. He wouldn't have done anything for this centurion servant. That man would have died, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Unless he heard the spoken word. Again, I ask you, how much word does the Holy Spirit hear coming out of your mouth? Especially when the problems hit big time. Oh, it's one thing on Thursday night when we're all together and everyone wants to look good in front of their peers. Oh, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. Hallelujah, you know. I can be like David. I can leap over a wall, run through a troop. Hallelujah, and all this stuff, you know. But if your air conditioner goes out tomorrow and we happen to be around you, now what are we going to hear? You know. The car throws a rod right through the block on your way home tonight. What are we going to hear? You know, is the Holy Spirit going to be hearing the Word of God coming out of your mouth? You see? What's He going to hear? Because whatever you say right then, you're prophesying your future. You're either going to get the Holy Spirit involved in your life, or by speaking what the devil did, you're going to keep his activity going in your life. And you can be expecting more problems next time I see you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Is that good stuff or what?
Amen.
I wish I wrote it. I'm not that smart. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Help us understand this.
Amen.
See, what we're really doing, we're really talking about the authority of Christ Himself. Now, see, this is why I wrote this part. It says, the centurion, he understood that Christ had authority over sickness. You all know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
We know that Jesus Christ has authority over sickness, don't we? But now watch this, see? He understood authority is released through the spoken word. Okay, I think you understand that better now. But now, at that time, Christ had only one body, the one He Himself was wearing. Right?
Right.
So if you wanted to get in touch with Him and His anointing, you had to go where He was. If we were living in that day and Jesus Christ was holding a meeting in Oklahoma City, and you wanted healing, you would need to go to Oklahoma City. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Because there was only he only had one body. You had to go where he was. Now, he could speak the word and heal your servant back in Tulsa. Okay? But you still had to go where he was. Now, watch this, though. He only had the one body, see? Today, the entire church is the body of Christ. The Anointed One is wearing many bodies today, including yours. Including yours. This is free. There's no extra charge for this. I want you to just think about this for a minute. Y'all remember the lady that had the issue of blood for 12 years? She came and she did what? She touched the hem of Jesus' garment. I don't know if it's ever dawned on you. You are Jesus' garment. And the sick are supposed to be able to come in faith and touch you and let His anointing heal them. Had you ever thought about that? What garment is Jesus wearing today? Your body. And the sick are supposed to be able to come and touch the hem of even the hem of His garment and be healed. That's free. There's no extra charge for that. We'll teach on that some other night. Hallelujah. Let me check the tape real quick. So far, so good. Hallelujah. Sir? Okay. Hallelujah. Now see, again, the entire church today is the body of Christ. The Anointed One is wearing many bodies today, including yours. Now watch. The word is emphatic. That means it doesn't quibble about this statement at all. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everyone say, Christ is in me.
Christ is in me.
The Anointed One is in me.
The Anointed One is in me.
He is wearing my body.
He is wearing my body.
I am His garment.
I am His garment.
Where I go,
He goes.
Where I go,
He
can speak.
Where I go,
He can heal.
He can heal.
Where I go,
He
can bless. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Boy, meditate on that. Remember last week we talked about being a taxi for the Lord.
Yes.
See, the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Hello, earthen vessels. Yes. Jesus says, I want you to take me up to Iowa. Because I want to heal Elaine. Pray for Lynette. She's going to be my taxi.
Amen.
I'm going to put my healing anointing in her body. And she is going to drive to Iowa and lay hands on Elaine, and I will, just like here, I will heal her.
Amen.
And he did too, didn't he?
Yeah.
You still eating tall glasses or drinking tall glasses of milk?
Oh, I mean all
breakfast
stuff, most important.
Pizza.
Oh yeah.
Cheese omelets. Glory to God. For those that haven't heard the story before that incident, all she could eat was mashed potatoes. And they want to be missionaries to Peru someday. It's kind of hard to be a missionary in Peru. Only on mashed potatoes. I don't even know if they've got mashed potatoes down there. You know? Anyway. But it was Christ in her. See, it's Christ in Lynette, wasn't it, Lynette? We know. You know you, don't you? See, I know me. You know, it wasn't you that healed her, was it? It was His anointing. She went up there in fear and trembling, and bless her little heart, got up enough courage to obey God. But she did, and God did. She did her part. I heard. You got blessed too. Amen. Plus, not only that, He did exceedingly abundantly. Look at this. Sitting there arm in arm. Healing their marriage. Restoring all things. Hallelujah. God only knows. God only knows 10 years down the road, if the Lord tarries, what all fruit you guys will bear for the kingdom. Who knows? All because one little lady was willing to be a taxi for Jesus. Hallelujah. If we ever get this straight, He is the Lord, we are not. He is the one with all power and anointing, we are not. But He needs our earthen vessels. He needs our bodies, and He needs obedience. When He says, pray and my healing anointing will go into Lynette, then you pray and you let His healing anointing go into Lynette. You don't do it some other way. You don't pray over handkerchiefs that time. That's fine if He says do it that way. You know, You do it how he says. That centurion could have been back there holding his servant's hand, trying to comfort him emotionally, trying to, you know, he could have done all that. Would any of that done any good at all?
No.
What was needed? The spoken word of God. And if you've never heard Norval Hayes' series, How to Live and Not Die, boy, you ought to get it before the devil attacks you with something terminal. That one set of tapes, it's six tapes, is probably responsible for getting more people healed from cancer than everything else in the world put together. Because he teaches them relentlessly for six tapes, hour and a half on each tape. He teaches relentlessly. Walk the floor, you flake. Walk it yourself.
Yes.
Speak the word of God over your body. Let the Holy Ghost heal you.
Amen.
Call Jesus your healer. Jesus, you are my healer. You are healing me now. Oh, cancer, I curse you at the root. Die, I said. Get out of my body. You have no right in my body. I call my body normal in Jesus' name, and I will live and not die. I will live and not die. Say it over and over and over and over again until the truth of that sinks from your head down into your heart where it comes out of your mouth with faith. As soon as it does that, the Holy Spirit will kick in and drive that cancer out of your body. That's the way it works. It doesn't work any other way. I thank God for doctors. I thank God they can save some by chemotherapy and radiation and surgery. Thank God for that. But honey, what happens when they send you home and they say, we've done all we can do? You better find out how to tap into the power of the Holy Ghost, because he's sure willing to do it. Remember Jesus' attitude? Okay, I'll come heal him. But my servant lies home grievously tormented. And immediately, I'll come and heal him. See? That's the attitude of God all the time. But how often does he get to have his way? He doesn't get to have his way all that often. See, I know this is still hard. If God had his way, there'd be no more deaths from cancer.
Amen.
Amen.
Now see, that's hard for the religious mind to accept. But it's the truth anyhow. God is never happy when anybody, saint or sinner, dies of cancer. No. Cancer does not come from God. God is a lover. God loves the whole world so much, he sent his only begotten Son, so that those that believed in him would not perish by cancer or any other thing, but have everlasting life. Amen?
Amen.
Good preaching or what?
Amen.
Glory to God. Okay, where was we again? The Holy Spirit is hovering over the face of your circumstances. See, he's there all the time. And he's just waiting to hear the word of God spoken with authority. Now, that with authority part, what do you mean by that, Gary? Nobody is good at this when they start. When I started walking the floor and saying, for example, the young lions, Psalms 34:10, the young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. In the natural, Sue and I lacked every good thing. I had been called into this. We were like 2-3 months behind on our car payment. 2-3 months behind on our house rent. They were threatening to shut off the electric, threatening to shut off everything. But what does the verse say? The young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now, it'd be one thing if I had chosen myself to quit my job. That won't work. I knew it was God. I knew he told me. I knew that he told me. So I knew I was seeking his will for my life. I had to keep what it didn't seem real to me, no more it seems real to anybody else when they start speaking the word of God in the face of their circumstances. I'd say that verse and almost shake my head because it says, those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And screaming in my ear was the thought, you lack every good thing. They're going to shut your electric off. Do you understand that? You're going to lose your car. You're going to lose your house. You and your wife are going to be sleeping under a bridge, and you're going to be wearing gunny sacks. You understand that? You know, and you, boy, it's almost like getting hit in the face by Mike Tyson. Bam, 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 you know? And you go, no, no, no. It says, the young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And so then he'd tell me, well, you're not thinking right. You know, just use anything he could think of, you know. Trying to get me to look away from the Word and to my circumstances. If you do that when it comes to cancer, you'll die too. The Word says, attend to my words. They are life to those that find them. They are health. And the word there really is medicine to all their flesh. What is? The Word. Jesus himself said when he was tempted by the devil, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is your life. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Hallelujah. You start speaking. See, and that's why the Holy Spirit can manifest those words. There is spirit life in them. He is a spirit. Okay? He can take those words and manifest them because there is spirit life in them. It's not just a dead letters written on a page. Jesus said, the world, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. Hallelujah. So when you speak the Word of God, it comes out with... It's just as alive as it was the first time it was ever spoken. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is eternal.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Wow. It's as good today as it was then. It'll be as good 5,000 years from now as it is today. Hallelujah. I keep thinking he's going to let me teach something else. Maybe y'all aren't speaking this enough yet. Maybe it's your fault. Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I think I just got a heavy revy. Maybe that's why we keep going over this. Another lap around Mount Sinai, you know. Are you speaking the word yet? No, come back next week, you know. Speaking of next week, while I'm thinking about it, next week is the day before the 4th of July. And so that's Thursday night, and I know a lot of people are going to be leaving that night for all kinds of barbecues and picnics and lakes and stuff. There will be no Bible study next Thursday night. We will pick it up the following Thursday. Okay? Now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Okay? We'll pick it up the following Thursday. Same time, same station. Be there or be square. Hallelujah. Anyway. You can come. We're going to be gone, but you're welcome to come. Hallelujah. Yeah, we'll have a four-hour one the following Thursday. You know? Hallelujah. Okay, we have to get with it here. We're going to run out of tape and time both. I like this. I want you to get the picture of this. However you picture Genesis 1:1 where and 1:2 where it says, the earth was dark without form, darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit, what does it say, hovered, brooded over the waters? You know what I mean? However you picture that in your mind, can you see him picture? Can you see him brooding and hovering over your circumstances? Can you see the Holy Spirit hovering around that servant's bed, the sick one? He was there. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. He's omnipresent. So he was there, wasn't he? He's brooding. He's hovering. He's there with all power, all might, all ability, waiting for something. Can you see on your circumstances he's brooding and hovering? Got the ability to change everything in your life. But he is waiting for something.
Yeah, that's good.
Can you tell what it is?
The
it's the spoken word of God. And if he doesn't ever hear it, you never release him to do anything for you. God, that is important. Get that. Hallelujah. Liz is about to take off back there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, anyway, I keep seeing that sentence and I can't hardly get away from it. Christ, the Anointed One, He who has all authority in heaven and earth lives in you, and the Holy Spirit is hovering over the face of your circumstances, just waiting to hear the Word of God spoken with authority. That's all He's waiting on. Now, let me ask you, if you don't speak the Word of God, how do you expect Christ within you to speak it? How's that going to happen? How's he going to speak it if you don't speak it? He's in your body now. Your mouth is His mouth. How's He going to hear you speak? How's He ever going to be able to speak that authority if He can't get you to speak the Word of God yourself? He's living in you. Isn't that right? All right, now watch this. I asked that question, then I said, how is the Holy Spirit ever going to perform the Word of God in your life if He never hears the Word of God spoken out of your mouth? Remember, the Holy Spirit will not perform the unspoken Word of God for anybody, not even God the Father. He will not make an exception in your case. I like to say it this way. Man is not allowed to make up his own gospel. See, God is sovereign. When people hear me or other people preach like this, they think somehow we're taking away the sovereignty of God. Well, God's God and He can do what He wants. Bless God. I know God's God. He did what He wanted. He sent Jesus to the cross and He gave us this gospel. He sovereignly did it that way. He didn't ask my opinion at all. He did it. This is His gospel. Okay? Now, my only job then is to get in and flow with His gospel, not mine. Now, you can leave here tonight and bless your darling heart. You can continue to think that God is going to do stuff for you and the Holy Spirit is going to move for you. It makes no difference whether you speak the Word of God or not. And I'll still love you and I will bury you and eat chicken. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to do it either. I don't care what you think about it. The Word of God is so whether you believe it or not. You're not going to change it. Now, the only option you have is to find out what it really says and flow with it. See? Isn't that right? Say, well, I never heard it like this before. Well, thank God you're here tonight.
Amen.
You heard it tonight. See? The only problem with that is you have no excuse tomorrow. Oh. Ow. That's why I always try and be real nice. And after people know me for a little while, and they hang around us for a little while, and they hear us for a little while. You know, I know it takes some time to get your mind going this way. It's not supposed to take a year. After a year or so, you know, well, Brother Gary, I've done this, and, you know, we've been coming faithfully. I know you have. And we've been, you know, and we've been doing it, Brother Gary. Honest, we have. We've been doing it. But, you know, it just, God just doesn't seem to do it. For us. Now, I'm always able to do it. God always gives me grace. So I'm always able to say this pretty nice. But if it wasn't for that grace, I would say it like this. First of all, repent for lying. Because either God's lying or you are, and I've got a good idea it's you. Now, if the Holy Spirit, if you've been confessing the Word to the point where it's dropping into your heart in abundance, and coming out with faith, which tells if that will happen for anybody that will just do it for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't hear yourself confess the Word for an hour or so every day, and faith not come.
Right.
Don't be telling me it won't work for you. It will work for you, or God will have to quit being God. So if it isn't working for you, it's because you ain't doing it. Now, I always do it nicer than that. So. But that's the truth. See, that is the truth. Hallelujah.
You're lying again.
Huh?
Oh. You're lying again.
Well, I don't say it that
nice.
I
said liar. Sue goes liar, liar, pants on fire for benefit of the tape. Okay. He will not make an exception in your case. Again, He'll love you. He'll be right at your side. He'll comfort you all He can in your affliction. You know, He'll still love you. Jesus will talk with you. He'll do anything He can. But He can't go beyond the Word you're giving Him. And He'll love you like that right up till you die. And never heal you either. No, He won't either. Well, you know that's true. How many God-loving, tongue-talking, Jesus-serving Christians do you know that died of cancer? A lot of them. Why? Because the church doesn't teach this. The church doesn't teach this. They don't teach people to walk the floor and confess Jesus is their healer for an hour or two a day if they've got terminal cancer. You know? But that's what you do if you want to win. That's what the Holy Spirit will manifest, is the spoken Word of God. All right, here we go. Have the same spirit of faith as the Apostle Paul. Look right up at the top again. Let's read that top verse that we started with. Say it with me. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now see, that is the spirit of faith. That's how faith works. Speak the word only, and the Holy Spirit will perform what he hears. Faith has a voice. Can you see in that verse? The spirit of faith believes and speaks. Let me say it again. The spirit of faith in you believes and speaks. Faith has a voice. If you're not speaking the word of God, you're not even in faith. You're making up some kind of strange faith the Bible doesn't know anything about. Jesus said about this centurion, this guy understands of the authority of the spoken word, and I say this is the greatest faith I've found. If you want him to be saying that about you, get a revelation of the authority in the spoken word of God. Hallelujah. Boy, it's quiet in here. Quiet. Let's go to the confession page. Hallelujah. Just repeat after me. Right, hang on a minute. Now, let me see here. Hallelujah. Okay, yeah, these are all pretty straight. Now, by the way, Annie brought up a good thing here the other day. I know, since I know the devil is not dead and we're not supposed to be ignorant of his devices, now, she loves these confession pages, don't you, Annie? She takes them with her. Hers are getting all wrinkled and crinkled. We're going to have to replace them, all right? But she's been doing this. But she says every now and then the devil attacks her mind by saying this. I hadn't, you know, heard this one in a while. But he says, well, what you're saying is not exactly the Word of God. You're making that confession, but that's not exactly the Word of God. Have any of y'all had that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the devil. Give it up. If you read the Bible, let's take any of them. Take any of them. Let's take John 3:16. Okay, how's that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, is there anything wrong with saying, for God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, so that I could believe in him, I will not perish, and I will have everlasting life?
No.
Is there anything wrong with that?
No.
Well, that's why I put the actual verse underneath these every week. So if the devil comes and attacks you, you know, like that, look at the verse. All right, and all you're doing is taking that verse and putting it in present tense words, calling those things that be not as though they were, as if it was already so in your life. Because according to the Word of God, it is.
Yeah.
It is already so. Jesus already died, you know. God's not sending him back specially just for you.
Right.
He's not going to the cross for Ellen. Not again, he didn't. He already did.
Yeah.
See? And you need to get a revelation that anything he did is yours now.
Yeah.
And the devil says, no, it's not. Look at your life. And you're going, yes, it is. Look at the Word. And the devil's going, no, it's not. Look at your circumstances. And you're going, yes, it is. Look at the Word. That's the fight. What's that fight? What fight? The good fight of faith.
Yeah.
That is the fight of faith right there. He's already done it 2,000 years ago. He's not coming back to do it again. Your job is to get the Word of God in your mouth and in your heart and get it speaking. It is written, it is written, it is written. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Here we go. I have the spirit of faith.
I believe the Word of God.
I believe the Word of God.
I speak the Word of God.
I speak the Word of God.
And the Holy Spirit performs the Word of God.
And the Holy Spirit performs the Word of God.
That he hears me speak.
That he hears me speak.
Now, I want you to look at the next one before we even say it. See, this is so powerful. This has been in your Bible all these years. Mark 11:23. You've heard 1,000 messages on it. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Y'all knew that was in your Bible before you came tonight, right? Now, listen. Notice what goes on in your spirit as we confess this. Just pay attention down here, okay? Say, I believe that what I say,
comes to pass.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I speak to problems. And command them to go. I have authority. Over all problems. I refuse to doubt. I believe the word of God.
I have what I say.
say.
I don't talk to God about my problems.
I don't talk to God about my problems.
I talk to my problems about God.
I talk to my problems about God.
Now listen, can you tell something?
Yeah.
Can you tell something? Now see, just that first statement, it'll change your whole life. Just that first one. It says, I believe that what I say comes to pass. See, if you don't ever really get a revelation of that, then it doesn't matter to you what you say. And the devil's got you. He takes you captive at his will. He'll take you right by the nose and lead you down any circumstantial path that he wants. Because you don't think it makes any difference. You know, you don't think it makes any difference. The first revelation you've got to have is what it says in that verse, that you, whatsoever you say comes to pass. See, look at this. Look at Mark 11:23 again. Did you know that that only works for people that believe that what they say comes to pass? Look at it. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, now here it is, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He. What he? That guy that believes, or girl that believes, that those things which he saith shall come to pass. See, faith only works for people that believe that what you say will come to pass. Get a revelation of that first. You say, well, I didn't think it made any difference. Well, you're at the right place tonight. You know better. You know better now. Faith only works for people that believe that what they say comes to pass. Can you see that?
Yeah.
It's right there. It's in red letters in my Bible. Jesus spoke it himself. Let's say that one again. I believe that what I say comes to pass.
I believe that what I say comes to pass.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I speak to problems.
I speak to problems.
And command them to go.
And command them to go.
Now get this. I have authority over all problems.
I have authority over all problems.
Now I wonder if I'm going to hear talk like that the next time I'm around you and you got a whole bunch of problems. I'm going to wonder if I'm going to be hearing you sound like you're the one in authority, or is your broken car the one in authority? Are you the one in authority, or is your cramped left leg the one in authority? You know, anything. You understand what I'm saying? What am I going to hear? Who's the head and who's the tail here? You see, the Bible says you're supposed to be the head. Okay, the devil's the tail. All right? The devil and problems are synonymous. Hallelujah. Okay. I have authority over all problems.
I have authority over all problems.
I refuse to doubt.
I refuse to doubt.
I believe the Word of God.
I believe the Word of God.
I have what I say.
I have what I say.
I don't talk to God about my problems.
I don't talk to God about my problems.
I talk to my problems about God.
I talk to my problems about God.
I have faith as a seed.
I have faith as a seed.
I plant my faith.
I plant my faith
by saying the Word of God.
By saying the Word of God.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I speak to every problem.
I speak to every problem.
And command it to die at the root.
And command it to die at the root.
All problems obey me.
All problems obey me.
Every time.
Every time.
I have authority over all problems.
I have authority over all problems.
Do you good to scream that for about an hour? Do you get a revelation of it? I speak to the mountain.
I speak to the mountain.
I tell it to remove and it removes.
I tell it to remove and it removes.
Nothing is impossible unto me.
Nothing is impossible unto me.
No problem is above my authority in Christ.
No problem is above my authority in Christ.
All problems obey me.
All problems obey me.
Problems are under my feet.
I
have authority over all problems.
I have authority over all problems.
Oh, I want to hear you talking like that. Next time I see you talking your problem like it's got authority over you, I'm going to say, weren't you in Bible study? Where's your red manual? You know, weren't you there? I'm sure you were there, Annie. Weren't you there? Now, what am I hearing about this problem having authority over you? What? What are you saying?
Yes, come on.
Hallelujah, see? Who's the head? You are. The problem is the tail. That's where it belongs to. See, I have the Word of God.
I have the Word of God.
In abundance in my heart.
In abundance in my heart.
The Word of God in me.
The Word of God in me.
Is bigger than all problems.
Is bigger than all problems.
I speak the Word.
I speak the Word.
Not the problem.
Not the problem.
God's Word spoken.
God's Word spoken.
From the treasure of my heart.
From the treasure of my heart.
Produces good things in the earth.
Good things in the earth.
I speak God's Word.
I speak God's Word.
God's spoken Word.
God's spoken Word.
Brings forth good things.
Brings forth good things.
The Holy Spirit manifests good things.
The Holy Spirit manifests good things.
When I speak God's Word.
When I speak God's Word.
I return the Word of God to Him.
I return the Word of God to Him.
By speaking it.
By speaking it.
God's Word.
God's Word
never returns to Him void.
Never returns to Him void.
But accomplishes His perfect will in my life.
But accomplishes His perfect will in my life.
I prosper by speaking the Word of God.
I prosper by speaking the Word of God.
I live by the Word of God.
I live by the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Let's just thank Him for that for a minute. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we thank You for the Word. We thank You for Your Word, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise You. Oh, thank You, Lord, for the truth. Father, Thy Word is truth. Help us walk in the truth, Lord. Let's do it again. I won't do so many comments this time. I have the spirit of faith.
I have the spirit of faith.
I believe the Word of God.
I believe the Word of God.
Now, stop right there. I heard this. Somebody said, when I said that, I believe the Word of God. Somebody in here, in their spirit, they said, I wish I did. Somebody did. Somebody said that. All right. Hey, I got news for your head. All of us are working on the part of us that believes the Word of God.
Yeah.
See, if you start out knowing that you're not believing it very well, if you'll put this in your mouth, just start saying, I do believe the Word of God. I believe the Word. What are you called? A believer? What do believers do?
Believe.
Well, get your mouth in agreement with Him whom with you're believing.
Amen.
Okay? Anyway, start calling those things that be not as though they were. Abraham's body couldn't have a baby when he started saying, I am the father of many nations. But you can't lie when you say what God says. Remember that lesson I taught at the church called Truth Changes Fact. It was a fact that Abraham was too old to have children. But the truth was the promise, in Isaac thy seed shall be called. You will have a son. As he confessed the truth changed the facts. Hallelujah. Good stuff. So even if you don't believe it right now, begin just like Abraham, working on that old dead believer of yours. Start speaking the Word of God and let the Holy Ghost give life to it. I said I wasn't going to comment so much. It's hard. I'm a preacher. What can I do? I have the spirit of faith.
I have the spirit of faith.
I believe the Word of God.
I believe the Word of God.
All of it.
All of it.
From Genesis to maps.
From Genesis to maps.
I believe it all.
I believe it all.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
What I do is believe.
What I do is believe.
So I believe the Word.
I believe the Word.
I speak the Word of God.
The Word of God.
The Holy Spirit performs the Word of God.
The Holy Spirit performs the Word of God.
That He hears me speak.
That He hears me speak.
I believe that what I say comes to pass.
I believe that what I say comes to pass.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I speak to problems.
I speak to problems.
And command them to go.
And command them to go.
I say all the time.
I say all the time.
Problem.
Problem.
Go. Go, I said.
Go, I said.
You can't stay.
You can't stay.
Because I'm telling you to go.
I'm telling you to go.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Go.
Go.
Get wild about this thing. Get wild about it. Whatever impacts you, do it.
Hallelujah.
Get out in the front yard and all your flaky neighbors. It'll be good for them. Go, I said. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I speak to problems.
I speak to problems.
And command them to go.
And command them to go.
I have authority over all problems.
I have authority over all problems.
I refuse to doubt.
I refuse to doubt.
I believe the word of God.
I believe the word of God.
I have what I say.
I have what I say.
I don't talk to God about my problems.
I don't talk to God about my problems.
I talk to my problems about God.
I talk to my problems about God.
I have faith as a seed.
I have faith as a seed.
I plant my faith by saying.
I plant my faith by saying.
I say the word of God.
I say the word of God.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I speak to every problem.
I speak to every problem.
I command it to die at the root.
I command it to die at the root.
All problems obey me.
All problems obey me.
Every time I said.
Every time I said.
I have authority over all problems.
I have authority over all problems.
I speak to the mountain.
The mountain
is the problem.
The mountain is the problem.
I speak to it.
I speak to it.
I tell it to remove and it removes.
I tell it to remove and it removes.
I talk to wallets.
I talk to wallets.
I talk to sickness.
I talk to sickness.
I talk to devils.
I talk to devils.
I talk to depression.
I talk to depression.
All problems.
All problems.
I have authority over them.
I have authority over them.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I talk to them. And they obey me.
And they obey me.
When I say go,
they go.
They go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, the devil's going to be afraid when you get up in the morning and you start doing this. What problems of mine are they going to run off today? I'm doing all my good work, the devil says.
I speak to the mountain.
I tell it to remove and it removes.
I tell it to remove and it removes.
Nothing is impossible to me.
Nothing is impossible to me.
Nothing.
Nothing.
There is nothing.
There is nothing.
That is impossible.
That is impossible.
Unto me.
Unto me.
Not in Jesus' name.
Not in Jesus' name.
There is nothing.
There is nothing.
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 That is impossible.
That is impossible.
Unto me.
Unto me.
That means.
That means.
All things are possible.
All things are possible.
There's no such thing as can't.
There's no such thing as can't.
I only live in the world of can.
I only live in the world of can.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See? Get to thinking like that.
Yes.
Oh, you'll drive the devil nuts. Well, he's already nuts. You'll drive him more nuts. I like what Norval says. The devil's nuts. Don't listen to him. Hallelujah. No problem is above my authority in Christ.
No problem is above my authority in Christ.
All problems obey me.
All problems obey me.
Problems are under my feet.
Problems are under my feet.
I have authority over all problems.
I have authority over all problems.
I have the word of God.
I have the word of God.
In abundance in my heart.
In abundance in my heart.
The word of God in me,
the word of God in me
is bigger than all.